There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to take us to an unusual place to discuss outer space, which is the Supreme Court of the United States. Bob, this is SEC versus Jarczy, a decision 6-3. It has to do with the administrative state. How does that connect to SpaceX? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, as I'm sure you've covered already, the Supreme Court ruled that the use of administrative law judges, these are not real judges, these are employees of this Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, to use them as judges to rule on cases is not constitutional. People have the right to a jury trial before a real jury and a real judge and real lawyers. You can't just simply administer a bureaucracy hire or have your own employees rule on a case that you yourself has instigated against a company or an individual. The Supreme Court said you can't use administrative judges. And how does this relate to space? SpaceX has been sued by the National Labor Relations Board for so-called discrimination against some employees that it fired because they wrote a public letter, an internal letter within the company trying to bash Elon Musk. And SpaceX fired them because this was not good practice within the company. This is distracting, and they don't want those kind of employees. And so the NLRB sued SpaceX for those employees and was going to then bring the case up before an administrative law judge. Well, SpaceX didn't respond to the actual NLRB case. Instead, it went to court and sued the NLRB on its fundamental existence, stating that they don't have the right to do this, their legal framework is bad, and most importantly, the use of administrative law judges instead of letting SpaceX have a trial by jury is unconstitutional. So this SEC ruling applies directly to SpaceX's own court case against the NLRB. And it could very well now eliminate that case by the NLRB. It might, in the long run, also cut the legs out from the NLRB entirely, because the way it's structured, proceedings that use administrative law judges basically allow government agents to act as the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury all in one. And it's not, which is why it's not a surprise when the Supreme Court ruled against the SEC here. So I'm expecting this to eliminate, to work in favor of SpaceX in this one particular matter, John.
SpaceX is now valued even, I don't remember what it was before, but it's getting pricey, Bob. What does this mean, valued at? How does that work?
Oh, I don't particularly understand this either, John. This is Wall Street stock valuing, but SpaceX is about to do another round to raise some private investment capital. It's done a bunch of these over the years. It's raised about $12 billion already for the construction of Starlink and the Starship Super Heavy rocket. And so they're about to do another one. They didn't say how much they're going to try to raise, but in the process of announcing a round like this, they estimate the value of the company so that investors know what they're getting into. And they state that now SpaceX is now valued at $210 billion. I should point out that when about 3 years ago when they started to do these investment rounds, they rated SpaceX as being worth $26 billion. And at that time, that was big news. My God, what a valuable company. Well, now almost, what is it? That's almost nine times more valuable. This has to do with Starlink, I think, more than anything else, John, because they're already in the black on Starlink, and they own the market. And so there's other constellations trying to get launched, but SpaceX already has the market in its grasp, and so that makes them extremely valuable. I think that's what
all right. Blue Origin and Lawfare. Blue Origin wants the FAA to intervene. In what fashion?
This is at Cape Canaveral. SpaceX wants to launch Starship Super Heavy from Cape Canaveral. And the FAA had done an environmental impact statement in 2019 saying, yes, you can go ahead and do it. You won't destroy the environment. Because we all know that spaceports do good for the environment, especially wildlife refugees. We've had three quarters of a century of proof from that at Kennedy. But the FAA decided to do another environmental impact statement because SpaceX wants to do more launches than they originally stated. And in the process of doing this new EIS, FAA asked for comments, public comments. And so Blue Origin submitted its own comment. And so Blue Origin wants the FAA to cap the number of launches at Cape Canaveral of Starship Super Heavy. Basically, what they're doing here is they're attempting to use this new impact statement to have the federal government damage or destroy Blue Origin's competition. Blue Origin, of course, is not really competing because they haven't launched anything yet. They say they're going to launch New Glenn by the end of the year, but they haven't launched anything, and they're years behind schedule. And meanwhile, SpaceX is not only launching Super Duper regularly, but it's building this giant rocket, which is going to, you know, basically beat everyone's pants off in terms of competition. And so this is just more ammunition to show that Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos isn't really interested in competition. They want to use the government to their advantage to squelch their opposition.
NASA awards SpaceX. That's not news. But for $843 million, that sounds like a lot of money. But this
It is a lot of money.
This is the part that confuses me. Deorbit ISS. What does that mean?
Well, okay. So ISS is going to be retired in 2030. That's what their plans are right now. And truthfully, based on the condition of the Russian modules, we have to keep our fingers crossed it'll last that long. But when it is decommissioned, you can't just leave this thing in orbit. It's going to come back down, like Skylab did, like Mir did. So you have to bring it down in a controlled manner over the Pacific Ocean so that it doesn't hit anything. It's big. It's going to hit the ground. And so NASA has – the original plan was to use two Progress freighters to use as thrusters to lower the orbit and have it deorbit properly. And that is something the Russians have already done with Mir. The problem is the Progress freighters are going to dock with the Russian modules, and there are questions about their viability for such a thing. And so NASA has decided it wants to do its own deorbit procedure using its ports, and it needs vehicles to do that. And so it's awarding SpaceX a contract to figure that out. It is likely that Dragon capsules with their thrusters could do this, but there's going to be a need for design work and upgrades to make that possible. I also think the amount of money is probably a lot higher than needs to be. This does not include the launch costs. So I think this is a little bit of a payoff to SpaceX, a little bit high. But nonetheless, this has got to be done when the time comes to deorbit ISS, when ISS is retired, John.
I'm trying to picture this, Bob. Part of the station is U.S. and its allies. Part of the station is Russian and its team. They deorbit half the station at a time? U.S.
No, they would do the whole thing as a unit. The real question is whether any modules will be salvaged or removed beforehand. The only modules we know that are going to be removed beforehand are the modules that Axiom, the private company, is going to attach in the next year or so as part of its development of its own commercial space station. Their plan is to attach it to ISS for a period of time, and then when they get enough modules up to detach to their own independent station. And so those will get detached. Whether any other modules will be salvaged and detached and maybe given or sold to Axiom or to others is an unknown. It's probably not very many. The Russians are no longer going to detach their section and use it because they have so many problems there. And the difficulty of doing that so is poor. And so what you're going to see is when this gets deorbited, it's going to be deorbited as a unit with only some modules removed, mostly axioms.
What about the solar panels? Aren't they useful in space? Couldn't you,
No, it's the same thing. It would be really difficult to detach those and put them on another station. I think it would be. This is all reasonable questions, John, but I think the technical issues here are difficult, too difficult. I mean, remember, to get them detached, you'd have to do spacewalks. And then you have to, and then once they're detached, then how does ISS work with people on board? It gets very complicated. And so I think in the end, it's just simpler for people to build new stations with new equipment that is upgraded and more modern.
I'm influenced by the shipyards and Millennium Falcon had to steal parts from in order to fly, Bob. That's why I'm looking.
Right.
The resale market in starships. Okay. ULA removes Dream Chaser from Vulcan. Let me translate this. ULA is an independent company. Dream Chaser is a mini shuttle. And the Vulcan is a rocket that ULA has been waiting for, developing. So what does this mean, removes?
ULA has its Vulcan rocket. It's trying to get it certified to do military launches. It's got contracts for military launches. But the military will not let it do those launches unless ULA completes two successful Vulcan launches. Well, Vulcan has launched once successfully. It needs to launch a second time. The second launch was supposed to be carrying Sierra Space's Dream Chaser mini shuttle Tenacity on its first flight to ISS. It's a cargo vehicle. It's reusable. It's a mini shuttle. It's kind of like the X-37B, but it hasn't flown yet, and this would be its first flight. Well, Sierra Space's Tenacity is behind schedule, and so even though the launch is scheduled September, increasingly it looked like Tenacity would not be ready for that September date. And ULA's got to get Vulcan off a second time for its bottom line, because it's got two military launches scheduled this year after that September launch. And so finally this week, ULA announced that they're removing Dream Chaser from that launch, so that launch can go on in September as scheduled. They're going to put probably a dummy payload on board just to get the launch off so that they can proceed with the military launches on schedule. Dream Chaser now has to get a new launch rocket. It'll probably be a ULA rocket sometime in 25, but that's not guaranteed. They could put the thing up on a SpaceX Falcon rocket. Maybe, this is ULA's bottom line. They have to get that launch off so they can launch military and other rockets as well, other rockets customers as well.
I don't immediately recognize this spaceport, but Firefly is going to use it for its Alpha rocket. Where is this spaceport, Bob?
It's in Sweden. This is the all the spaceports that are being developed in the north of Europe, two in the UK, one in Norway, and another one in Sweden. The one in Sweden is called S-Range, and that's been actually used for decades for suborbital launches. But about 2 years ago, Sweden upgraded one of its launch pads to do orbital launches and made it available to come for commercial flights. And they got a contract from a South Korean rocket startup, but that company has not launched yet. But they now signed a second contract with Firefly to launch its Alpha rocket from S-Range in Sweden. And so Firefly wants to launch from Wallops, it wants to launch from Vandenberg, and now it has a contract to launch also from Sweden. What's interesting to me about this, John, is that this contract went to Sweden and S-Range. It did not go to the two UK spaceports that had been on development much, much longer. And those spaceports are losing business right now because they have regulatory red tape problems in the UK with the Civil Aviation Authority that's delayed all launches from those spaceports for years. And so the business is now going elsewhere, and Firefly demonstrates that.
Building a spacesuit. You've talked about this before, Bob. There's a big contract because NASA needs a new spacesuit, but they've had a dropout. What is Collins?
Yes, so NASA, after 14 years and $1 billion+ of doing PowerPoint presentations and not building anything, they need new spacesuits. they abandoned their own effort and they issued contracts to two different companies, Axiom and Collins, to build new spacesuits for both the moon and also for EVAs on ISS or maybe Lunar Gateway. And so those two companies are building spacesuits. Well, Collins apparently was having problems getting this done, and they were going behind schedule and over budget. These were fixed price contracts. And so Collins basically started a negotiation with NASA to get out of its contract, and this week it officially backed out, and so it's not going to make a spacesuit anymore. And so NASA is now depending on Axiom to make these new suits. There is a question whether or not NASA will rebid the contract. You know, SpaceX has been developing a suit for EVAs on its Dragon capsules for Jared Isaacman. SpaceX could bid and maybe upgrade its own suit to fit NASA's specifications. We're not clear if NASA's going to do that. I find it really disturbing that American companies now can't build something like a spacesuit. It might not be a simple thing to build, but this is something that American aerospace companies would have been able to do without any problem or would have been able to make it happen. And now we're having these kind of problems. It's a little disturbing, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Mack.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.